You are listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Now is the time for Toilet. You're listening to The Toilet of Hell radio show. I'm your host, Joe Thrashenkill. With me, as always, is 365 Days of Horror and Brenocide. How's it going today, fellas?
Yeah, no, actually, what's going on today, everybody, is that Joe Thrashenkill is not with us today. There's no... Daddy's not home, so to speak. It's just me and 365 today. We got the podcast to ourselves. Joe is, unfortunately, obligated to go to some friend's wedding somewhere. I think he said San Francisco, right?
Yeah, that's what he said in the last show.
Okay, so he's not going to be on the show today, but he will certainly be on the next show. Unless this one is just so good that we don't need him anymore.
This is the show where things get real. This is where we have pizza for breakfast.
That's right, where we have ice cream before breakfast pizza, and we make a mess and we get it everywhere, and the dog poops on the floor and we just don't bother.
And we listen to loud rock and roll music, and we play video games, and we don't do our homework.
We just rip up feather pillows all over the floor, and we just spill champagne all over the rug. You know, maybe get into a pillow fight with those, take our shirts off as boys watch us from the window.
This sounds familiar.
I don't know what you could mean.
Possibly a murderous killer with a giant custom guitar with a drill on the end of it attacks us?
That is oddly specific.
Yeah, you know, it's just a feeling I have.
Yeah, perhaps. Today we got a show for you guys today. We got some stuff to talk about. We don't need Joe. We don't need him. We can come up with stuff on our own. We're good at that. We got a few subjects. 365, you were talking to me about how there's a certain bassist from a certain band who is putting out a certain something about his certain self.
Yeah, I mean, when we say a certain bassist, really we mean the bassist. Everyone else is below him. Yeah. I am talking about Mr. Fieldy of Korn.
Wow. that's great. No, seriously, that's he's really the best. And he's breaking out on his own?
Yeah, like I just heard about this yesterday, and this isn't to be confused with his other solo album that he's done. I don't know if you've ever heard of Fieldy's Dreams.
Oh my God, I think so. How long ago was that?
That might have been at least 10 years ago.
Couldn't have been farther away. But wow, Fieldy's Dreams. Man, we gotta see if we can find a clip of that somewhere.
I encourage everyone to just stop what they're doing right now. If you're at work, stop doing work. If you're driving, pull over to the side of the road and look this up. The whole album's on YouTube. It is very, very bad rat metal.
Alone at home, laying in my bed, hearing voices in my head. Leave me alone, I can't cope with this pain.
Do you feel insane? Do you crave cocaine?
Nope, there's other dope, Xanax, Valium, Vicodin, and speed.
Excellent. As opposed to very good rat metal.
Well, I guess Rage Against the Machine falls under good rat metal.
Yeah, perhaps.
I've never been the biggest fan, but I know their importance and, you know, the songs that are on the radio.
Yeah, I was into Rage Against the Machine when I was very young, but it didn't last long for me. I had broken up a friendship over Rage Against the Machine. I had made fun of Tom Morello as a guitar player. I just said that he just plays through fucked up equipment and he just, you know, slides his hands up and down his strings, which is only slightly true. There's more to it than that. But at the time, that's all it seemed like. And my friend, who is a bit more of an experienced guitar player, was just so angry with me. He just kind of stopped speaking to me because in high school, that sort of stuff really mattered.
And it goes like that.
Did you ever reconnect?
It's funny you bring that up. He actually just added me today on Facebook.
So it all comes together.
I'm gonna have to. The only reason I'm bringing it up is because it's now in my head. I was like, wait, this was the guy that I got in a fight with because I made fun of Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. So do you have any more information on this this Fieldy album? I mean, do they have a name for it? Any sort of guest artists we need to know about?
Well, I didn't look into it that far.
And why would you?
I just saw this thing and went, no. But let's see. The internet tells me that this is going to have 17 tracks on it, and it's like mostly instrumental.
So instrumental means he's just going to be clacking away on his like low slinky bass strings.
Yeah, he's like doing this slappy bass thing. I think there's going to be some drums and like a DJ. And apparently Jonathan Davis does some of his gorilla sounds on one of the songs.
Oh, good. So it really just sounds like a Korn album, and they're just trying to spit it some other way.
He put out a music video for a song, and I swear this is what it's called, Zibba Zebop.
Zibba Zebop. You know what? Joe doesn't like to play a lot of clips on the show, but I do. I think we're going to get a clip of Zibba Zebop. We'll get it in there. So. Is the drummer from Korn, I forget his name, David Silver... Is he what's the guy's name who's drums for Korn?
Ray Luzier.
Totally different guy. I'm thinking of like the original Frosted Tips guy,
who's now in a band called Core 10, which I know I've sent you the video for.
Yes, that's why I was thinking of him.
I think I'd rather listen to this solo Fieldy album than Core 10, because that is just light years beyond bad.
Here is a clip of Quartet. Lots of great music coming out, clearly. So,
well, before we move on from Zibba Zebop, there's a video for this too. And it is Fieldy and a drummer and a DJ like underneath a bridge playing a song, and they're surrounded by what I assume is fans and not like kidnapping victims. And they're all like acting like they're into it, like throwing up their hands and pointing at stuff, and it feels like it's a big joke on me. Like, this can't be real.
Do you feel like the members of Core 10 paid more for fans to be there than George Soros paid for Antifa soldiers to show up and protest Donald Trump?
Unfortunately, I was referring to the Fieldy video.
Oh, the Fieldy video. Okay, yeah. So I guess my question still stands. Who do you think pays more, Fieldy or George Soros?
Fieldy.
Yeah, I'd have to assume so. I think people want to be there a lot less.
Yeah, we really missed out on the Antifa super soldiers beheading white people.
Yeah, I'm a white person and I'm still here, so unfortunately things didn't really go according to plan.
I still have a head. Way to fuck up, Antifa.
Yeah. I had my they mailed my super soldier serum, Captain America style, to me. I injected it, and it just ended up being black tar heroin, unfortunately. So I just had a great nap, and nothing else happened, as far as I know.
I woke up, and I was listening to Stone Temple Pilots. I don't know what happened.
Oh, that's right. I just woke up listening to Core 10, and enjoying it just a bit more.
With all these like solo albums that have come out over the past few years from various metal musicians, is there anyone that you want to see put out an album on their own away from their band?
That's a really good question. I'm trying to think of somebody who's... It's hard to say, because these days I feel like there's a very clear band leader when anybody puts out music. Like, if you were to say, for instance, like, David Davidson of Revocation, just off the top of my head. I mean, obviously that guy is Revocation. The bassist or the second guitarist for Revocation, you know, breaking off and kind of doing his own thing, I'm not so sure about.
When I'm thinking about these solo albums, it's this kind of weird juxtaposition between like having someone who sounds so distinctive that like anything they do just sounds like what they already do. Like, right. You know, Peter Steele, for example, if he ever did a solo album, it would just sound like Typo Negative, because Typo Negative is essentially Peter Steele.
Right. Like when Jeff Loomis from Nevermore was putting out his own stuff, it just sounded like Nevermore without vocals.
Yeah, or even like Bruce Dickinson solo stuff. It's Iron Maiden.
Right.
And then you have, you know, people who try to do something else, something completely different. Like, I think Geezer Butler had a solo, or, you know, with guests called like GZR. And I think like Clint Burton did vocals for some of it, and it sounded
really,
you know, completely different, but not good.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I just, like I said, I think that there's such a power force behind each band in like one guy these days that it's, you know, if that guy were to do something different, he would just take his sound and his style somewhere else. So, I mean, not to call these other guys session musicians in some of these bands, but it's hard to say. And the thing is, if you go looking, you're probably going to find tons of side projects from these people.
Oh, yeah. You know, they all have side projects more or less because they need something to do in downtime when their cash cow is taking a break.
Yeah, if anything's a cash cow. But yeah, I don't know. It's an excellent question. Maybe we'll pull it over to the readers in the comments section. You guys let us know if there was a certain member of a certain band you like, and you know they have a style that you think would be really great for their own thing. Just let us know if you'd like to see them kind of break out on their own and do something solo. And you don't get to say Fieldy because he's already done it.
Joe, what do you think? Oh, we're a bunch of cucks? Oh, okay.
Oh, Anthrax is the best band ever? Thanks, Joe.
I love this growing feud between you two and like Anthrax and Megadeth.
If you don't think that Anthrax is going to be the opening and closing song for this Toad of Hell show, you're probably right.
You just need Anthrax going throughout the entire hour in the background.
See, the thing is, I'm like setting myself up as this guy who like adores Anthrax, and I just don't get the hate for them. I don't see why they're, you know, like tons of people shit on them all the time. And I myself don't get it. You can enlighten me, go ahead, but I don't know. People think their singing is annoying, or they don't think the production quality is as good, or the songs aren't as memorable. I don't know. I think they're all fine. I mean, they're the only thrash band that really has a singer among the big four. Everybody else is just like a gruff nerd, so.
Maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, there just isn't enough gruff nerds in metal. You guys can't deal with someone who just, you know, hits a pitch once in a while.
Yeah, they're, you know, they just want to listen to people yelling about nuclear war, and they don't want to hear songs about feelings.
Yeah. I mean, we got songs for about, like, you know, Judge Dredd for them. And,
well, I think that Madhouse. That might be also part of it is that Anthrax always had this, like, kind of lightness to them, or like weren't always serious. You know, they were wearing their Bermuda shorts and funny hats and were on Married with Children, while the other thrash bands were just in their leather jackets and had their long hair and, you know, sang about death and war.
Yeah, you know, they play it cool for the most part. And I mean, I know they have a history of some problematic stuff between members and some side projects that they did, but shit, man, who doesn't, you know?
We're all guilty.
We're all guilty. Right. Just the longer you exist, the worse a person you are. It's just how life is. So not to get too far off topic, but yeah. So let us know, guys, about any solo projects you want to see from people. So anything else kind of coming out major on the music front that you've seen or heard about?
Not major. On a personal level, I'm going to a show at the end of this week. I'm going to go see a band called Resistant Culture. Have you ever heard of them?
I have not. You brought them up just a few minutes ago, but why don't you go ahead and just kind of let people know who they are and what they're about.
So I think they're a California-based band. They've been around a little while. They refer to themselves as tribal crust punk / grindcore, like Native American, focusing on like ecology and, you know, living off the land, stuff like that. And I don't necessarily listen to a lot of like crust punk or grind all that much. So when I go to the show, I'm fully expecting the leather jacket and mohawk crowd, and I'm going to feel super out of place.
You could just shave yourself a mohawk and show up in a leather jacket.
I could, but I don't want to.
Well, then there you go. Then you're the truest to yourself among them. So I feel like tribal crust grind is just something that like a bunch of white dudes would do anyway. So it's cool to hear that it was actually, it sounds like it's a bunch of Native American kids, right?
Yeah, I believe they're Native American, Latino, somewhere mixed in and all that.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I like the music. It's just another one of those things we kind of touched on the last episode, like not having the metal uniform.
Yeah, you know, I like to dress up maybe a little bit when I go to metal shows, but I just, you know, I don't bring the leather jacket anymore. It's too hot and heavy. And I mean, even if it's like the dead of winter, it just, you go in a venue full of people and they got heat on. It's not something you're going to want to keep on. Like one time I saw this show in Worcester at the Palladium, and it was Flesh God Apocalypse and Croc Ongren and Abigail Williams, I think, too. And it was markedly cold. It was like negative 13 degrees or something. I remember this because one of the band's tour buses, like the engine froze or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was really cold. So I was like, okay, cool. This is it. I will bring my leather jacket and it'll work out for me this time. But nope, I was sweating balls fucking, 10, 15 minutes in. And I had to like hold it like an idiot. It's just, you know, it's not good. I mean, I should learn better. I should just wear my favorite t-shirt and jeans and just show up.
Yeah, well, it's tough going to shows, at least in the Northeast, in winter, but for that exact problem. It's going to be freezing cold out, but the venue's going to be hot. So do you not bring a jacket, and then when you leave the show all sweaty, you're freezing? Or do you bring the jacket, and then you got to hold it the whole show, or you have to pay some obscene amount of money to get your coat checked? It's definitely first world problems, but I notice it a lot.
I think you and I are discussing a very lucrative endeavor. I think we should figure out a way to have like disposable warm jackets that are specifically for concert goers, where you pretty much just wear it to the venue, and then, well, I guess you can't throw it away because you gotta leave at some point. Never mind. We're working on it. We're workshopping it.
Maybe some sort of like coat drive exchange. You bring one in, you just leave it on the floor, and you take whatever you want when you go home.
Yeah, man. It sounds like the promoters should get in on that. They should figure something out when they're not busy grifting everybody.
No one steal our $10 money-making idea.
That's right. We're going to be like the Netflix of jackets.
So what's going on with you?
More like the Redbox. You know, it's interesting. I haven't been to a metal show in a very long time. I'm trying to kind of see what's coming up in the area, but I don't know, man. It gets harder as the years keep coming. You know, I feel guilty about leaving early or showing up late. Like, I want to see everybody. I want to make sure that there's some non-band member eyes on somebody playing the whole time for these poor kids that show up. So like, a lot of shows in the area. For local shows, it's not as bad as it was like this moron who's putting these big stupid festivals together with the four stages and whatnot, but it's like eight, seven, six bands. It's just too many goddamn performers, and each one gets pretty much as long as they want to play. So it's just like an endurance test at the end of it. I'm probably excited for 45 minutes, and then the rest of the time my back hurts, my feet hurt, my ears hurt. I want to go home. I'm out of money for beer, you know?
Yeah. Four bands, 30-minute sets. If the headliner wants to do 45, or if they're really big, an hour, that's cool. That's like the sweet spot for shows now.
Yeah. I would say four bands is a really solid solid mark there. You got 30 minutes, four bands. That's 2 hours. That'd be a good show.
Yeah, and everyone gets out before midnight, and everyone's in their nice cozy bed.
That'd be great, man.
This has been Old Man Yelling at Cloud Radio.
Yeah. It's too cold. It's too hot. Bands are too long. Nah, man, it's just when you get, you know, when you get here, they'll get it. The kids listening, they'll get it. Or they won't, and they'll just think I'm a poser. That's fine either way.
Or they'll try to crowd kill us at the show, because apparently that's a thing again.
Yeah, did you see this letter they posted on Metal Sucks? This I don't know if it was like, I don't think it was an artist. I think it was just some kid from Denmark, I think. And I know it's definitely not America, because somewhere in the letter he talks about how the medical bills he has to deal with his injury is bad for society. And I'm just like, that's not how it works over here. But yeah, apparently this kid wrote Metal Sucks, or maybe it was something on a comment section where he was talking about how he went to a Chelsea Grin show, and somebody in the mosh pit purposely walked right up to him and just kicked him square in the knee with like intent and malice, and really messed up his knee, like dislocated it, hurt some tendons. He had to go to the hospital and his whole thing. And, you know, the venue security didn't really seem to care very much. They couldn't prove who did it. They didn't see anything, et cetera, et cetera. The cops wouldn't care, so forth. So, yeah, I figured we could talk about crowd killing a little bit on the show. What's your take, Jordan? Do you just like going up to people, not bringing the mosh and punching them right in the face?
It's funny, like, this, I know this has happened in the past, but I felt like it went away for a while, and now it's starting to become a thing again. Even just flipping through YouTube and watching live clips of some more of the newer hardcore bands, it's happening all the time. And for people that don't know what crowd killing is, it's essentially someone going towards the edge of a pit and hitting people on purpose, or running full blast and hitting people in the head or kicking people to injure them. I don't know how this started, and I don't know why it's a thing again. It's kind of scary, really.
I guess the philosophy behind crowd killing is, if you're not at the hardcore show, just absolutely kick spinning, bringing the motherfucking mosh and just opening this pit the hell up, and you're just not there to throw down, then you deserve to get cracked in the face for your inability to be as hardcore as you should be. So what'll happen is you'll go to shows like this and people will crowd kill. They'll go up to just crowds of people and just swing their arms into the faces of these people, swing their legs into these people standing on the sidelines, not doing anything wrong. And, if you retaliate, like if you hit them back, you could possibly get thrown out, or you could face repercussions from other people, because it's like out of mode to not hit back crowd killers, because they're crowd killing for a reason and they're supposed to do that.
People are there to have a good time. I don't understand how punching a girl in the head, well, it's disgusting. No, I mean, the people that do that have no problem with hitting a woman, so that's why.
Yeah, no, it's
caught myself. I mean, when years ago I saw the Headbangers Ball tour at the Worcester Palladium, and I was on the floor for Unearthed set, and as soon as they finished, some giant fat guy walked right up to me, no music playing, and just punched me in the head.
Oh, that was you. Sorry, man. I was just feeling the Unearthed that night.
Yeah, your hair looked a little different back then.
Yeah, maybe.
And I just kind of like raised my arms and like shrugged at him. Like, I didn't even know what to say because it was just so shocking and weird.
I was at a 100 Demons show with a bunch of other local bands playing in this shithole called, I don't even remember. So it was like the Waterfront in Holyoke, Massachusetts. And I don't think they have hardcore shows anymore, but they used to have them like every other night. It was like the big hardcore venue of the area. And basically it was a benefit show to raise money to get one of these guys out of jail. I feel like I've told you guys this story.
Yeah, it sounds familiar. This? Was it like FSU or something?
Exactly. Yeah. One of the guys from FSU went to jail because he murdered a guy like with his bare fists. Like he was bouncing at a show and somebody took a swing at him. So he proceeded to just, you know, be four times the size and beat the shit out of this guy and actually beat him to death. And so he went to jail and they had a benefit show to raise money to get their buddy out of jail. And I was there, and one of the FSU guys just like was crowd killing, walked up and like punched me square in the neck. Like, I thought I was gonna have to go to the hospital. Like, I just felt like my throat collapse. But it was like I couldn't do anything, you know. I got a pretty good shoving when he came back and I started swinging at him. I thought, okay, this is how it's gonna be. I just started swinging at him, and oh man, he bitched out so bad. But, you know, people started shoving me because, you know, how dare I? And I just was surrounded by these guys, so I just couldn't find them. I went and hid in the bar and pretty much drank with some random lady for the rest of the night, and I didn't watch the rest of the show. Yeah, it's obnoxious. It doesn't really happen in metal shows as much. I think people in the comment section of Metal Sucks article were very adamant to say, well, I don't see it. I don't know what the problem is. Because it's more of like a deathcore, hardcore sort of thing.
Yeah, well, that's the tried and true response. I haven't seen it, so it doesn't exist.
Right? These fucking idiots, man. It's like, if you... if that's ever your response, just let it go. Just don't comment, you know? Like... It's like, I've never seen a white supremacist at a metal show. I bet you asked everybody, you fucking idiot. Like, why did, I don't know. I'm never going to understand why most people on the internet open their mouths, so I'm not going to bother getting into it. But kind of related, the guitarist from Every Time I Die, name escapes me at the moment. It's not Andy Williams, it's the other one.
Jordan something or other?
Jordan something or other, I think, is right. And he stage dived into a crowd and I guess very seriously injured this woman. She's going to need like physical therapy or surgery or something on her neck because he landed right on her head. Because that's where the heads are. If you jump into a crowd and you're on the stage, those are necks and heads right there. So... She's suing him for money I'm sure they don't have.
Bands stay on the stage. Fans stay in the crowd.
That's right. It's just, I mean, you got that whole thing with Randy Blythe from Lamb of God just shoving a guy, and then he's in jail for like a year of his life in some random prison where he doesn't know the language and they treat him like shit, you know, because he's a murderer, because the kid just fell just right. It's just... I don't want to sound like an old pussy, but geez, it seems so obvious not to do this stuff anymore. It's just the bad stuff keeps piling up.
Yeah, I think a little bit is of the young immortal feeling. I haven't been hurt so far. What can go wrong?
Right. Plus, I just think it's out of mode. Like, it's just not cool anymore. I feel like we're at an age where, like, you know, cynicism and smugness is a lot more cool. So if you just stand there and look unimpressed, I feel like that's way more cool points than if you just flip the fuck out and start swinging at people.
Well, it's like the crowd killing thing went away and came back. The same thing has happened now with stage diving. I mean, you can watch any Power Trip show on YouTube and there's a ton of stage diving.
Yeah, it's a culture thing from subculture to subculture of metal. I mean, there's certain venues where it just, I mean, or rather certain genres where it just won't happen. You're definitely not going to see anybody doing anything at a black metal show. Or they shouldn't, rather. It's just really not cool. You're supposed to stand there looking pissed off as possible and not move a muscle.
Yeah, I've told this story before on the podcast, but I saw Suffocation at Hellfest in 2003, the American version. And I saw a guy stage dive and landed into a giant dude in a leather jacket and long hair who was clearly there just to see Suffocation. And the big dude in the leather jacket just grabbed him and was screaming in his face. It was just like, yeah, you don't do it during Suffocation, dude. Save it for Norma Jean.
Yeah. That's another thing, too, is they like to mix these bands up. And that usually leads to these sort of problems. I mean, I'm surprised that metal dudes will talk about how it's like, oh, I've never seen it. I've never been to a metal show where that's happened. Because I feel like I go to metal shows all the time where the lineup doesn't make as much sense as I feel like it could. Like, they'll have bands that are more of the metalcore, hardcore, deathcore-ish sort of persuasion opening up or kind of playing mid-card or something, and then... the headliner would be like the big 80s band that everybody is there to see. I went to this one year of Thrash and Burn tour they used to do, which is pretty much like a deathcore sort of tour. I think it was like Emir played, for Christ's sake. And just randomly the headliner was Motorhead. They just showed up for like this one show. So you had this whole like... Emur and that vein of music sort of crowd, and then guys like us who were just there to see Motorhead, and it was pretty annoying having to deal with the rest of the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, they do that, so you get the young kids willing to spend the money to come in to kind of fill out the crowd. I mean, not that Motorhead ever needed that, but just for some of these tours, you know, these little packages, these young bands, you know, also don't require all that much support from their labels or booking agents or whoever. So kind of get them on, bring the kids in, so the room is full for, you know, Anthrax.
Yeah, sure. Anthrax doesn't need it. And Anthrax brings the kids. Okay, they're still cool.
It brings the parents who bring their kids.
So says Uncle Bren, they're still cool. I'm still cool too. I don't know. I don't know how people miss this stuff. But I mean, my opinion is to just kind of just chill, enjoy yourself, watch the music. I mean, I used to go to shows when I was really young, like late teens, early 20s, and all I would ever do the whole show was mosh. And then, like, I'd be all beat up, I'd be all tired out, I'd be exhausted, I'd be sore the next morning, I'd be covered in bruises, and I'd have, like, sprained this, sprained that. And, like, I just was like, oh, awesome, I did it right, yeah, man. But, I mean, I've never had more fun at shows just standing there and watching. Because it's like, you really pay the ticket to go see the band anyway. I mean, God knows if you go to some, like, famous hip-hop artist, you're going to see people there dancing. And I suppose this is, like, the moronic metal version of dancing for people. But I don't know. I guess I just don't get it anymore myself. I feel like, you know, you paid your price of admission to go and view the band and listen to them perform their music live. So you might as well enjoy it and just stop being the shit out of each other.
Yeah, well, it's a maturity thing. I mean, I certainly 13, 14, 15 years old would mosh all the time at shows for the entire length of the show because it was a release. You're young and you're angry at everything and nothing at the same time. So you just want to run around and slam into each other while listening to dumb aggro music. But, you know, we're older now, so it's just like, I don't want to get hurt. I have to go to work in the morning. I just want to listen to the riffage. I just want to hear the songs I know. So it, part of that comes with age.
Yeah, and I think that, like, it's one thing if, like, you're a, like, a super DIY punk band and you're in, like, you know, this shithole dive bar, like a house show or something. I mean, not that they'd have a stage at a house show, but I mean, it's one thing if those guys stage dive, but every time I died, those members have some years on them. You know, they're not kids anymore. And, to hear that they're like still jumping off of the freaking stage onto people, it's kind of surprising, but it's also, just as we saw, a bad idea.
Yeah, bands don't do it. Fans don't do it. Stay where you need to stay. And it's important to remember the bouncers or security aren't really going to help you.
No, not at all. They're not. That's the opposite of what they're there to do.
They're pretty much going to grab you and throw you out, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Joe, what do you think about crowd killing? Oh, kick everyone in the back of the head? All right, cool.
That sounds good. So there's that. Let's see. What else happened this week? George Fisher of Cannibal Corpse said that he doesn't mind people kneeling at NFL games.
Was that what it was? I didn't actually read the article. And actually, like, Metal Injection and Metal Sucks had, like, two different takes on it. And some were like, George Fisher says do whatever you want. And others are just like, nah, he didn't stick up for the players as he should have. And what exactly did he say?
And I'm very much paraphrasing. He essentially said, you know, I myself would stand for the flag and, you know, that doesn't bother me, but I totally get why people are kneeling. And I know they're just trying to start a conversation and have people, talk about it. It wasn't really like mind blowing stuff.
Sure.
It sounds like somebody on a podcast asked him about it.
Mm.
And it's like, you got a lead singer for a death metal band. Like, what kind of opinion are you really going to get out of the guy? But for the most part, it really wasn't anything too problematic. It's very easily spun as problematic because he didn't just show complete allegiance to the cause, so to speak. But he, you know, he wasn't really like against it. He didn't run his mouth the way we've seen a lot of metal musicians run their mouths.
Yeah, that seems like a perfectly reasonable, if safe, answer, and that's fine.
Yeah, and he's talked about how, you know, in Cannibal Corpse, they all have different opinions. And he just, he kind of took the lazy centrist way out, which I know is a thing.
That's fine. But, it's okay.
Right. But yeah.
He's a guy that's, you know, growls about cutting off people's heads and fucking the torsos. This is a fine answer for him.
Yes. We're very proud of him. We got more than we expected.
Things could have gone very differently if he wanted to just have fun with it.
All right. Absolutely. And I think that if you want to have that take, that's okay. If you still support the country, but you also have an understanding that, you know, these people are kneeling for a reason and they should be allowed to do it, that's fine. I don't really see the problem with that. I don't think that we should be so bipolar about politics lately as we have been. Obviously there's a side that is much more right than the other. And I don't mean that like physically right. I mean like morally correct. Right. Correct. Yeah. But I think that, you know, we can have some things and also not other things. I think we need a lot more of that these days, is that you can agree that, you know, some things are bad and some things are good within any spectrum of this sort of stuff. So, yeah, and long and short is that, I'm not going to start a political revolution right now, and George Corpse Grinder is fine. Don't be mad at him.
Of all the things to ask the vocalist for Cannibal Corpse, that seems to be like low priority.
Dude, that's another fucking thing. We got to stop asking metal musicians as journalists about their takes on this stuff. We got to leave them alone. If bands want to submit their voice to the cause and they want to speak out about this stuff, or it comes up in some way organically on their own, that's one thing. But I feel like lately, a lot of these internet metal journalists are prying into things in order to get these artists to, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say they're trying to get them to say something stupid and get some sweet ass outrage culture clicks, but it's kind of hard not to feel that way sometimes.
Well, yeah, you either get confirmation of how you feel by them giving you the right answer, or they give you the wrong answer, and then you can have your article, your sound clip, your video clip, everything pushing it out, and you're the story of the day all of a sudden.
Right. It's just, there's a lot of things that I don't want to hear from metal musicians, and this is just one of those things. I just, you know, can't we just talk to the guy about, like, World of Warcraft? Isn't that still a thing for him?
Yeah, when I saw them, like, a year or two ago, I think from the stage he was talking about World of Warcraft and football.
Oh, maybe that's how it came up.
He is a big football fan, so that might be part of it.
It's a huge part of the conversation right now, I guess, when it comes to football. We're having the president of our nation, like, publicly ostracize the one organization that everybody has loved for decades and decades. So it's kind of a strange time. So I don't think it's so strange that George Fisher should have to talk about kneeling at a game. But hey, you know, what do I know?
Whoever said, "May you live in interesting times," get punched in the face.
Who said that? Did anyone say that?
I don't know. If whoever said it is probably dead, so you're, you know, punching a skeleton, but we should all be punching skeletons and Nazis.
Skeletons and Nazis. Unless, you know, you have a job and you have knuckles you want to go unbruised and you have things that you'd rather be doing and such and so forth. I mean, punching people, hey, it's great until it's not. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, we bring this up, but and we've talked about this off the show, but I think 2 weeks ago I saw a woman at the bus stop wearing a Goat Moon hoodie. And for those that don't know the band, they're, you know, far white NSBM, full on Nazi band. And the hoodie had the Totenkopf Death's Head on it. It had the Celtic crosses on it. And all that together is clearly, you know, Nazi stuff. And I had this internal struggle about, like, do I say something? You know, what should I do? And I didn't do anything because I felt like, what can I do? It's it's a bad look to just go up to a random, as a man, to go up to a woman and start yelling at her. So you can't do that. I mean, I don't want to be a creepy dude sidling up next to a woman and trying to chat her up about what she's wearing. So it's kind of like, well, what do I do?
It's just a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, I guess. And, you know, you have to realize that your self-preservation kind of goes above all in certain situations. I know we kind of got into it on Twitter, I think, about it, but I don't think we brought it up on the show, did we?
No.
No. So, yeah, what you were saying was you kind of lamented about the fact you didn't see anything, and a lot of people just kind of agreed that, you know, it was good enough that you kind of brought it up and you made it public that this sort of thing is unacceptable, but you didn't yourself, like, go walk over and just berate this random strange woman at the bus stop.
Right. I didn't do anything.
I took a picture of her.
True. I did take a picture just to show, well, of the hoodie.
No. Yeah. Picture. You didn't really take a picture of her face.
No. But it was just to point out, man, like, this exists, and, you know, I have a lot of feelings about it and mad at myself for not doing something, but also, I guess, proud of myself for not doing anything. Like, it's just kind of a weird feeling, and I didn't like it.
That's such a strange phenomenon about how to sort of interact with people who are part of this group that is, like, objectively wrong, but they're also, they themselves, a bit lower on, like, the privileged social ladder than you are. So, it's like, how do you, as a guy who's just, like, a white man and, it's essentially, you really just don't have anything to say. Like, how do you attack those people? How do you approach those people? I mean, think about what I brought up was, Betsy DeVos. This woman is on top of the world. She's got millions of dollars to her name. She's part of the Trump administration, and she's, like, skewering our education system for her own greed and profit. But, like, I see videos of just male protesters just, like, getting in her face and standing over her and screaming at her about what she's doing. And granted, it's warranted, but it just gives me the icks, because at the end of the day, you're this, like, big, strong guy, and you're getting in the face of, like, this like, middle-aged lady, and you're just, like, shrieking at her, you know? So it's just like, even though you got the right intentions, you're still going after this woman. So it's like, what can you do?
Yeah. It's like, you know, you see something, you say something, you always want to do the right thing. When you see stuff elsewhere, it's like, oh, well, I wouldn't have done this, or I would have done the right thing and stood up. And it's just, it wasn't that simple. And, you know, it's like, if you're silent, does that mean you're complacent? There was no right answer. And the whole thing just kind of frustrated me. Some of the responses to it kind of frustrated me as well, with people saying, she probably doesn't know what she was wearing, or she's naive.
Oh, that shit too. Yeah. I mean, it, not only is that sexist, but it's also like, oh, there's no way that this poor little woman could possibly be part of something so evil. It's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, people would never say that if it was a guy wearing the same thing. Never.
Yeah, not a million years. And not to say, like, you know, oh, that's unfair to men, but it's just, like, it's so naive to think that women can't be part of just, like, a pure evil movement. Lots of them are. Mm-hmm. You'll see them in Klan hoods. You'll see them all over Tumblr. Like, I mean, I used to be on Tumblr until I wasn't for some very obvious reasons, where I was just going around and I was kind of just following random black metal blogs. And a lot of them are like these, like, barely 20 something girls that not only are they reblogging some Behret music or whatever. I don't know if I said that right. I don't even care. But they're also like reblogging just every anti-SJW, every pro-Nazi meme they probably could. They're like actually actively arguing and answering anonymous questions about how they completely believe in white supremacy. And they're just like these little young girls. And yeah, it's easy to say things like, oh, they don't know what they're doing. But fuck it. If they're old enough to vote and they're putting people in office that are going to give them what they want at that time, I don't give a shit if they're too young. They're old enough to, you know, deserve the backlash.
Yeah, and it's not like just went into Hot Topic and picked something up because it had spooky skulls and goats on it.
Right.
Hot Topic's not selling a Goat Moon hoodie.
No, that's something very specific she went online to order. Or she had her boyfriend do it for her.
Yeah, I'm sure went to a shady website and picked it up. And right. You can Google image the band. There's no question about what they are.
Right. But it's interesting because that sort of stuff does happen. It happens to grown men. I've seen instances where people will buy into NSBM without realizing what it is. I like to argue a lot that, you know, there's like no Nazi sleeper agents, that these people are like really loud and proud and they're not as cryptic as they used to be. So it's usually pretty obvious if you're dealing with a group or a band like that, and they really don't have the power of denial anymore like they used to. But I mean, some of these bands, they do stay cryptic. They do kind of use suggestive lyrics as opposed to very outright lyrics. And I've like seen guys and heard about guys like ordering music and vinyls and cassettes and things like that. And then when they get them, they'll get like we were talking about last time with the poster and the and the swastika on the album cover and things like that. So accidents do happen, but, you know, not that much.
Yeah, part of it also now is that they have their main band that's non-political or non-ideological, and then they have like a secret side band that is like 88 millimeter go take a shower type music, like Inquisition, for example.
You know, it's interesting. Every time I watch that This Week in Metal video with that young blonde who I don't know the name of,
she's wearing their shirt.
She's wearing their shirt like for 50% of the video. Do you think that's ironically, or do you think that's the situation like the Goat Moon hoodie lady?
I assume she's just I don't want to jump in and try to explain or mansplain what.
You don't get it. You don't get the joke, I guess. And we're not in on it, you know.
Maybe.
It's funny, guys. See? It's funny because yeah, I don't know. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. But I just think that at the end of it, don't release a solo LP if you're Fieldy. Don't jump into crowds if you're like a 40-something metal guy or a young metal guy. Don't crowd kill, because we will flip that terminology over and the crowd will kill you. It's going to be a thing now, guys. I want everybody out there to start beating up crowd killers like in droves. And yeah, don't be a dickhead. Don't get into NSBM, but also don't yell at ladies at the bus stop. You know, pick your battles. That's all.
Yeah. Joe, any final thoughts? Oh, pugs for life? You got it.
Pug life.
Pug life.
Well, I think we'll call it a sode, guys. As always, my name is Brennicide, and I think we'll wrap it up, and we'll have Joe on here back soon, and you guys have yourselves a good night.
Unless you absolutely love this show, then we can just kick Joe off. Just let us know.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know in the comments if you want Joe back. If you don't, we can't do anything about it because he owns the website.
We'll see you next week.
We'll be right back.
FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.